Okay, three.
This is about Matan Torah.
Right, we're going to talk about Matan Torah, the Parsha Matan Torah. We're going to actually move backwards, sort of. We'll start with a pasuk a little bit later on, and then we'll move backwards. If you'll take a look at the way the Torah describes Matan Torah after the Torah was given at the end of Parshas Yisro, and this is in Perek Chaf Pasuk Tesvav. I have this big blue chumash. I don't know if you have it. It's on page 177. But it says, "V'chol am roim es hakolos v'es alapidim v'es kol ha-shofar v'es ha-har oshen v'yar ha-am v'yanu'u v'yamdu mirachok." So the Torah is very dramatic, describing the kolos, describing the har oshen. And that's after Matan Torah. Let's look at the psukim before Matan Torah. Here we're back towards the beginning of Perek Yutes. And we're looking at Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hine anochi ba elecha biav ha'onon, bavur yishma'am bedabri imach, v'gam b'chaya minu liolam. We'll stop here for just a moment to make a comment on these words, v'gam b'chayaminu li'olam. There's a comment here of the Tikkuni Zohar that every generation has its leadership, which is called Ispashtusei Demoshe. Somehow there's almost a reflection of the image or the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu in the leaders of every generation. In other words, God wants Matan Torah to have not only the purpose of giving the Torah, but also the purpose of the people believing in Moshe. Gam b'chaya minu li'olam. These are the introductory psukim that set the whole background and the whole purpose for Matan Torah, for Gam B'chaya Minu Li'olam. And this means that in order for Torah to be meaningful, in order for it to be successful, to be transmitted in a permanent way from one generation to the other throughout all of time, we need Gam B'chaya Minu Li'olam. Says the Zohar, this is the Ispashtusei de Moshe Rabbeinu Bechol Dar Vadar, that every generation has its guides, its leaders. These will be Mashpia, these will answer our questions, and they are, in a sense, a reflection of Moshe Rabbeinu, so that the Torah has to be given together with Moshe Rabbeinu, with an emuna, with a faith, and a reliance on Moshe Rabbeinu. Now let's go on in the Psukim. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. This is Pasuk Yud. Lech el ha'am v'kidashtem hayom u'machar v'ayu nechonim layom hashlish. These are the 3 days of Hagbalah, of preparation. And then in Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem says v'higbalta es ha'am saviv lemar. There should be a boundary around the mountain. And this means, this boundary, he shamru lechem, be very careful, alos bahar, not to climb up the mountain. And Hashem is very harsh, very outspoken, very demanding, lo tiga bo yad, and the punishment for contact with the mountain is very severe. And only b'mshoch hayovel hemi yalu bahar. So the people want to climb the mountain. Hashem says, higbaltem, you're not allowed to climb the mountain. Only after b'mshoch hayovel, then they could climb the mountain. This reminds me of a story that my father used to tell about his shtetl in Plisa, that there was a certain Jew who his whole dream in life was to locate Har Sinai and climb the mountain so that he could go up to the top of Mount Sinai. So the Rav of Plisa used to say to this man, Reb Yid, instead of climbing up Har Sinai, I want you to stay here and please and be Mekayim the Torah. You know? Anyway,
nice.
Yeah, he was not a very observant Jew. Vayered Moshe min ahar, pasuk yudalid. Vayikadesh esa'av, and Moshe commands them in the imperative that he received from Hashem, the hagbalah and all that's entailed. Now let's fast forward to the psukim that come right before Matan Torah. If you take a look in pasuk Chav Gimel, Gam Hakohenim and Nigashim Hashem Yizkadoshu, Pen Yifrotz Behem Hashem, God is again telling Moshe Rabbeinu to make sure that they don't come near the mountain. In pasuk Chav Aleph, it says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, raid, go down, ha'ed ba'am, warn the people, pen yifrots ba'hem, and Vayomer Moshe Hashem," and God responds in pasuk of Gimel. Moshe Rabbeinu responds, and he says, "Lo yuchal ha'am lalo sel har Sinai." The people will not be able to climb up our Sinai. Ki atah ha'idosim, you already warned us, lemar hagbel esahar v'kidashto. If you take a look in Rashi, Rashi says, "Eini tzarech lahayid b'hem." There's no need for me to warn them. Shari musrim v'omrim heim. They were already warned. V'lo yuchlu lalos, ein mehem l'rshus. So there's a fascinating dialogue here, back and forth between Kaviyachol and Moshe Rabbeinu. Back in Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem had already commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, Higbalt Esa'am, Hisham Lechem Lalos Bahar, Lo Sigabo, etc. And the Torah says, in fact, that Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled the will of God, and he commanded and warned the people. So they're already musrim v'omdim, to use Rashi's terminology. Then Hashem comes a second time, right before Matan Torah, and he says to Moshe, "Raid, go down," because the previous pasuk says that Vayikra Hashem al Moshe, Vayal Moshe. God called out to Moshe from the mountain, and Moshe climbed up. Hashem now says to him, "Go down." Why? Because once again, you have to warn the people of Israel. So Moshe says to him, "Well, what's going on over here? I already did that. I already accomplished that goal. I already fulfilled that command. And I warned them about not going up on the mountain." And Rashi says, "Then musrim v'omrim v'lo yuchlu lalos. Ein lahem reshus." So how does Hashem respond to Moshe? "Beinu v'yomer elav Hashem lech reid." Again he repeats himself, "Go down." Rashi says, "Lech reid, v'ha'ed b'hem shenis," warn them a second time, "Shemizarzim es ha'odom kodem maisa." Notice the original Azhara came earlier, somewhat removed from the maisa, and then chozum mazim es ha'pishas maisa, and then we get close to Matan Torah, and we give another warning. It sounds like the way Rashi presents this whole episode, this dialogue back and forth, that there's almost a vikuach, a debate here between HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe. Moshe says, "Yes, we got the message. I warned the people, or yuchlu lalos. They're not going to be able to go up." And Hashem says, "No, go warn them a second time." As if to say, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that there was no need for a second warning, one azhar is enough. And Hashem says, "No, we need another azhar, a second azhar to warn them." And he commands Moshe to go down and warn them a second time. So the truth of the matter is, we're not exactly sure, even after we read Rashi, why was it necessary to warn them a second time? Why wouldn't one warning be enough? One before the Shas Maisa, one B'Shas Maisa. It wasn't a long, separate period of time. And what was the response to Moshe's argument his taina that there's no need for another azhara. This is such a rare occasion where you find, you know, a back and forth between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Benu. Yep. Joe, what do you want to say?
Could it be? I mean, it's an excellent question. I've been wondering about it all the time also. Could it be? I was always wondering if Hashem didn't want Moshe by him. Hashem wanted Moshe by the people. But he couldn't say it to him. So he made an excuse. He couldn't. He wanted Moshe to be with them. So he somehow, you know, just go down. You know, he wants to. He doesn't want him to be there. He wants him to be with them together.
I tell you what, Joe. Let's make a deal. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to present the thesis here of the Tolna Rebbe, which you may have. I don't know if you were able to print it out. Let me know, because in the future, if you're not printing it out, and you know. It doesn't pay for me to make this effort. Oh, okay.
They all have it. Look.
It's on our phones. Yeah, it's on our phones.
Oh, you have it on the phone. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's the greatness.
Like, with it. We don't print up stuff anymore.
Right.
Fills up the Geniza.
It's an ecological issue. You don't want to waste paper.
Right.
Okay, so it was worth the effort, Baruch Hashem, because I'm not very good at scanning, but somebody in the yeshiva helped me, so I was able to send this to you.
It's a great year.
And Joe, what I want to do is, after we see the Rebbe's presentation here, his thesis, then we come back to what you said, and let's see if we can take your idea and maybe integrate it into what the Rebbe said. Is that okay? All right.
I'm really excited about it.
Okay.
Following me for a long time.
Okay, so here's what the Rebbe wants to say. And this you'll
Most
see...
Most slowly, because Joe's taking notes.
Right. You'll see this on, if you turn to page 126. Okay. So the Rebbe summarizes three... Yeah, you with me? The Rebbe summarizes here three questions. Question number one. Why is it that Hashem rejects Moshe's argument, if you will? They've already been warned, and Hashem nevertheless insists on a second warning. Question number two, why is Moshe Rabbeinu incorrect, so to speak? What mistake, perhaps, is he guilty of that Hashem says, no, lech rev? And number three, the parsha that we started with after Matan Torah, Perek Chav Pasuk Tesvav, why does the Torah, after already Matan Torah, the Torah, the Aseres Hadibros have been given, the Torah feels a necessity to once again describe the dramatic event of Kolos, of Lapidim, of Ashan, of the smoke? Now the Rebbe adds a fourth question. He says, at the very end of Parshas Yisro, we get a mitzvah called Mizbeach Adoma Tasali. That's in Pasuk Chof Aleph. Velo Saleh V'malos Al Mizbechi. And these are dinim in terms of how the Kohen will climb up towards the Mizbeach. What connection, what relevancy is that this should come immediately after the story of the Kolos and the Ashan? Okay, fine. Now the Rebbe's going to find the key to unlock this whole mystery of this parasha in two words, lech reid. Those are the key words, lech reid, go down. And he says the following. We've already pointed out early in the introduction to Matan Torah that the purpose of Matan Torah is twofold. Number one, the giving of the Torah. Number two, the belief of Klal Yisrael in their leader, in Moshe Rabbeinu. And this becomes very relevant to the pasuk Lech Reid. Lech Reid doesn't just mean on the simple pshat level, go down the mountain. That for sure it does. But it has a deeper, more symbolic meaning. Moshe Rabbeinu climbs the mountain because he's the Ish Elokim. He's a divine, almost like a divine person. He has climbed the ladder and reached the highest levels of understanding and comprehending Kaviyachol. he's ready to accept the Torah, and he's described as Lokom Navi Od B'Yisrael K'Moshe. No Navi had reached or could reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, one time around, if you want us on one occasion, God, not to do something, that's enough. It already has a strong and powerful authority or teeth to it. There's no possibility from Moshe's perspective of not fulfilling God's will. Moshe Rabbeinu therefore says, the way Rashi saw, we saw, Lo yuchal ha'am lalos. Very strange language. What do you mean, Lo yuchal ha'am lalos? I mean, they certainly have freedom of choice. But from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, freedom of choice is not really relevant. It's not significant, because Moshe Rabbeinu is on that level where if God tells you something, that's it. It's MS, and there's no room for sheker. There's no room or possibility for violating the will of God. So every prohibition that God gives, any mandate, any command, is a mitzius. It's like a reality. This reminds me of Adam Arishon Kodem Lachet. There was no temptation because everything was emes. Maybe we'll speak about this a little bit later. We'll try to embellish that. But in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not a question in anyone's mind. Lo yuchal ha'am lalos. And here the Rebbe quotes a Sifri. This Sifri is a comment of Chazal in Parshas Re'eh. There the Torah says in the case of Maaser Sheni, Lo tuchal lecho bisharecha. You know that Maaser Sheni, of course, has to be brought to Yerushalayim. And it's eaten in Yerushalayim. You can't eat Maaser Sheni out of Yerushalayim. You violate a law. But the Torah says, Lo tuchal lechol bisharecha. You won't be able to eat it outside the bounds of Yerushalayim. Well, the Sifri asks the question, what does that mean? Yachol atav al eincha rashai. You can eat it outside of Yerushalayim, but you're not permitted to do so. So the Sifri says that the command of Hashem should make it into lo suchal, almost as if you're bound, you know, hands and feet. You cannot possibly eat it bisharecha. That's how strong your commitment to God's will, to God's command has to be. And that's the darga of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu reaches the spiritual high in which a mandate from Hashem is a mitzvah. It's a clear-cut reality. There's no way of fabricating, of falsifying, of violating that reality. Comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're making a big mistake. Yes, it's true that you're on the level where to choose Ra, to choose evil, is almost an impossibility. You see everything absolutely clear in front of your eyes. And it's hardly even a freedom of choice. There's no serious hava, meaning that you would violate the will of God. That's you, Moshe Rabbeinu, on your level. But Lech Reid, you've gone up to the mountain. You're on a very high level, but now you have to look at your people in a realistic way and not to judge them and measure their success through your vision, through your spectacles, through your high spiritual level. The people are not on your level. They are on a much lower level. And we're going to soon see how the Rebbe proves this. I commanded them not to go up the mountain. But that doesn't mean that lo yuchal lalos, that they won't be able to go up. There are people in the nation that need real chizuk, real encouragement. They have to be told not once but twice. And why, Moshe Rabbeinu? Why don't you get the message? Because you're on such a madrega gvoa, you need to be lech reid. Go down to the level. A leader has to understand and appreciate the level that his people are at. He cannot overshoot. There's no way that a leader can have an impact and an influence and inspire his people if he's distant from them, if he doesn't understand them, if he's not on that level. It's like a Rebbe who gives a shiur and he talks to his people in concepts and terms that they can't understand because they're on a much lower level. They haven't gone through the training. They don't have the experience that he has. Moshe Rabbeinu is being taught by Hashem that Klal Yisrael need Chazara. Chozrin Mazhirin Osam B'Shas Maisa, says Rashi. It's not enough that we have Mazaris them before the Maisa. They need another Azhara. And this is the key to V'chai Aminu L'chol Yolam, that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will be accepted as the leader, and that's the purpose, or one of the two purposes of Matan Torah. In order for you to be accepted, to function as a leader, as a manik be Yisrael, leadership means you cannot be up in your high level, you know, the ivory tower, you're on the Madregas Hapiska. You have to know the nefesh of your people. You have to appreciate where they're at. You will never be able to uplift them and guide them from that distant high level that you are, unless you come down off the mountain and you understand where they're holding and what they're doing, what they're capable of, and what warnings and strength and guidance they need. Then if you reach that level, if you go down to the people in order to bring them up, them gam b'chaya minu liolam, they will accept you as their leader. You'll be able to function. But the key of keys is lech reid. You have to have a total understanding and an appreciation for the spiritual level of the people, to know their limitations, to know their deficiencies, to know their capabilities, their capacities. Then, when you appreciate that, when you can enter into their nefesh, and you can then serve as their manig, when you can cut yourself off from your high Romimus, your personal highest level of spirituality, up in the Gavoh, up in the Shamayim. Now you recognize the true, the reality of what the people are. Then you could bring them up. Then you could have the role of leadership. You could be very patient. You could be tolerant. You could relate to their needs and yet be forceful. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu at this very critical juncture before Matan Torah. Because as we said before, the whole enterprise of Matan Torah is conditional, it's contingent on the success of a leader. And Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? You haven't reached the level of a leader yet because you think that one warning is enough for the people. And Chazal tell us that at the time of Matan Torah, based on a pasuk at the end of Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to all the nations of the world. And he asked each nation individually if they would accept the Torah. And the Mechilta, you'll see this on the top of page 127, says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu run around to each nation asking them if they would accept the Torah? Because lo yil yiten pischon pelem, that they shouldn't have an argument and complaint, and they say to the Shekhinah, you know what, if we had only been approached, if you had only demanded or requested of us to accept the Torah, maybe we would have accepted the Torah. So Hashem goes around, Hashem Misinai Ba, and he appears to every one of the major nations. The Mechilta says he appears to the Bnei Esav. So these are the descendants of Esav HaRosh, and he says to them, are you willing to accept the Torah? Ma kosuv ba. You know, we don't want a jack in the box. What does it say in your Torah? Amar lehem lo tirtzach. Ah, that's not shayach. Zuhi Yerusha Shari. This is in our bloodstream. This is what we inherited from our great father, Esav Harasha, al charbucha tichye. So now Hashem appears to the Bnei Amon and the Bnei Moav. And he says to them, are you ready to accept the Torah? Maksivba, amalehem lo sinov, adultery, a violation of sexual morality. Amrulahu, we are essentially niuf. We personify niuf. If not for niuf, we wouldn't be here today. Vaterano shtei benos lot, me'aviyam noach, ve'heich nekabla. You know, for us to accept that is to go against our very nature, our very essence. We live by the code of immorality. Niglal b'nei Yishmael, amalem makablam atisto, amalem maksov, what? Amalem lotignov. Now lotignov means one of two things. It either means to steal, or it means to kidnap someone. Amru lo, and b'nei Yishmael respond, and they say, b'zu abrochen is baruch avinu. Our father Yishmael was blessed with Vahuya Pera Adam, Viad Kol Adamo. In other words, he's got his hand in everyone's pocket. And not only that, the Bnei Yishmael were the ones who sold Yosef as a slave to Mitzrayim, and that's Lo Signal. That's also Kikanov Gunavti Mieretz HaYivrim. Now the end of the Mechilta, we finally reach the moment of truth. Kishabaitz al Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Mimino Eish Das Lamo, the people of Israel accepted the Torah. Pasku Kulon Piyam Vyamru, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nase V'nishma. Rabbo say, what question do we have to ask on this Medrash? You feel?
I've been waiting to ask a question for about 10 minutes, so I'm sorry if it's late right now. You were talking earlier, it said in the Torah, Hashem says to Moshe V'yered. You made a whole peel pull on V'yered. But isn't that, I don't have the Chumash in front of me, but isn't that in the context the people were misbehaving and Hashem says, go down there, your people are misbehaving, V'yered?
That's later on. That's
you know what, you feel? You're already in Parshas Kitisa. I'm back in Parshas Yisro. So come back in a few weeks. You feel this is the second.
Okay, sorry. All right. It all hangs together then.
Okay. But the Lech Raid here is in the context of the introductory psukim before the giving of the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, here in Perek Yutes. And
it's the 10 suggestions this time.
But you feel, you know what? Can I put you on the firing line here? We just read a long medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to each one of these nations, and what does he say to them? Accept the Torah, right? So what do they respond?
What's written?
What's written there? So basically, what are they asking for? A sample.
Justification for their previous behavior.
You're not following me, Yechiel. What I'm saying is like this. If I come to you, you remember the advertisement Avon calling? Remember? I got all these cosmetics for you. So the first thing you can ask me for is a sample. You know, before you're not gonna buy the whole package until you test it out. So each one of these nations was given a sample. You know, one taste of the Torah. Then it gets to Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash says that when Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, he comes to Klal Yisrael. And right away, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nase V'nishma. What's missing over here from this Medrash?
Hashem didn't ask Kol Yisrael to...
Exactly. Where's the sample? You know, this whole, hey, you know, before we accept the Torah, what's in it? You know, give us a sample. So some of them first say that...
Over our head. And this great big mountain, this park is like Nase V'nishma.
Ah, okay. That's a good point. Okay, we have to talk about what that means. Kofalem HaKigigas. But most of the first want to say that this Medrash glorifies or beautifies the nation of Israel by omitting something. There was no need for Klal Yisrael to get a sample. God wants to give His Torah, we accept it. Comes along the Maral Miprag, which you'll see here on the bottom of the page. And he says, no. Klal Yisrael also got a sample. Now, what's common about each one of these samples that we had in the cases of Bnei Esav, Bnei Amon Umov, and Bnei Yishmael is that the sample was always the most difficult, challenging one that would be appropriate for that people. Meaning, in the case of Esav, Lo Tirtzach is way, way beyond them. That's the challenge. Can they commit themselves to the difficult challenge? Same thing in the case of Yishmael with Lo Signov, in the case of Lo Sinov for Amon Umov. Says the Maral, Klal Yisrael were given one command before the Torah. And that was the most challenging command. And that was Lo Talu Alahar. Don't climb up the mountain. I'm going to read to you the language of the Maral. It's a pella. Says the Maral, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan li am Yisrael mitzvah achas, one mitzvah, kinisayon is a challenge lifnei nesinas haTorah. Let's see if you can handle that one mitzvah. And what is that mitzvah? Hagbel es ha'am v'kidashto, Iser aliyah lahar. That's going to be the Nisayon for Klal Yisrael. That's going to be the parallel of Lo Tirtzach for the Bnei Esav, etc., etc. And in each case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses one mitzvah, one command, that is the most difficult command and challenging command for that people. Ritzicha in the case of Sayer, and Gezel in the case of Yishmael, Niyuf in the case of Amon Moav. So too, says the Maral, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the most difficult, challenging command for Klal Yisrael. Why? Hagbola Lalos Bahar? You know, don't climb up the mountain? Like big deal. Oh, I didn't climb up the mountain. That's such a challenge, right? The answer is that if you understand and appreciate the essence of Klal Yisrael, their character, their personality, says the Maral, you would appreciate why this Hagbalah, Lo Sal El Ahar, is the most challenging command for Klal Yisrael. What is the essence of Klal Yisrael? Yeshayo HaNavi says, Amzu Yatzarti Li, this is a people that by the very, they were created, they're very forged as a people of God. Tilasi Yisaperu. They love God. They want to sing God's praises. They want Dveikus in Hashem. But how do you get Dveikus in Hashem? So naturally, intuitively, a biological being says, I got to climb up the mountain. God is on the mountain. I have to go up there. This reminds us, this is the story of Bnei Aaron. Who do I have in mind? None of Aviyu. They bring an Esh Zara. Hashem never commanded them for an Esh Zara. You could bring a certain fire on the Mizbeach, but they brought a different fire on the Mizbeach. And the reason they did so is because Bekrovai et Kadesh, Moshe and Aaron say they're even greater than we are, because they want to reach this level of Dveikus and Shekhinah. And that's the nature of a Jew. And he wants to go up the mountain. He can't control himself. The Shekhinah is on the mountain. He wants that Dveikus with the Shekhinah. And therefore, on the top of page 128, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes and appreciates the nature of man. And he knows that man is built with, on the one hand, an emotional fire, but on the other hand, when a fire continues for a certain period of time, it diminishes, it cools off, it wanes. In the Hebrew term, he uses do'echet. Beautiful word here. A fire is great. Enthusiasm is wonderful. But man cannot maintain that high level. Man has to understand that he will never remain beramaru chanit gvoha liorach hazman. That a person thinks that, you know what, I'm going to climb up and higher, but the truth is that man falls. In Chassidus, this is called mochin de katnus, that at certain periods of time, somehow, you know, the dibber goes into man and he doesn't see the greater picture, and he falls. Sheva tzadigipol, right? There are difficult times in everyone's life. There are challenges and crises. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what the key to Kabbalah HaTorah is? Lahagdil esam, limit them. A person has to be makir es makomo. He has to know and recognize exactly where he is. He thinks he can climb a ladder at the speed of light. But no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you climb a ladder, you do it slowly, step by step. We count 49 days of the Omer, because every day we're climbing a little bit higher, but if you all of a sudden jump forward, then the danger of falling all the way down is that much greater. Man has to climb bishlavim, in stages, midudim, very meticulously calculated, deliberately thought out, with great care, li'at la'at, go slowly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, don't climb the mountain. This is not the moment. You're not on that level. You're not ready for Dveikus and Shekhinah. You are down on earth, and please remain down on earth. And if we take a look at the situation of Klal Yisrael, where were they holding at this point in life? After all, they left Yitzias Mitzrayim, according to the Arizal, B'memtes Shari Tuma. They were down there in the 49th level of Tuma. To such an extent that the heavenly representative of Mitzrayim at the time of Yamsuf says to the Ribbono Shel Olam in front of the heavenly throne, Halolu Avdei Avodah Zarah, Halolu Avdei Avodah Zarah. Look at Klal Yisrael. Yechezkel says, V'at Arov V'Eriyah, the naked of mitzvahs, they have no merits. This is the level of Klal Yisrael. But all of a sudden, Zekeli V'Anveyu, they leave Mitzrayim, and a week later, They're on the level of Rasa Shivcha Alayam Asher Olora Yecheskel Ben Buzi. But it happened very quickly. It was a jump up the ladder, which did not necessarily produce the good results, because immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael Miyamsuf. Rashi says the name of the Mechilta, he see on Baal Karchan. They weren't interested in leaving Yamsuf. They wanted to remain there. What were they busy doing at Yamsuf? Collecting the Bizas Hayom. Why are they so desperate for the Bizas Hayom? After all, we have a parish of Bizas Mitzrayim before they left Mitzrayim. They weren't so poor anymore. They came into money, into wealth. But no, they want more wealth and more wealth. They want something physical, something material. They're in love with gold and silver. They want to clean out whatever they can. We're not moving, Moshe Rabbeinu. He see on Baal Karcha. They're still very physical. This is the level of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, these are people who may be rich in possessions, but they're still poor in their spiritual level. And therefore, at this point, it's not like the way Moshe Rabbeinu thinks, God, you already warned them once, you don't have to warn them again. I know, in my life, says Moshe Rabbeinu, one warning is enough. You tell me what's good and what's bad, what's evil, and what's tov, and I see it right in front of my eyes. Oh no, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're wrong. You're making a mistake. That's your perspective from up there, from on high. You're on a very spiritual level. You're the Ish Elokim. You're the Yolokom Novi Kemoshe Od. But they are not on that level. They have been jumping at an accelerated speed of light. And that's not the way you build spirituality. That's not the way you build an ethical personality. You need a very strong, solid base. You have to build slowly. And this is the debate between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu, from his perspective, says, you want them once, that's enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, lech raid. You have to know your people. You have to realize that they need a second round, a second chizuk. You have to guide them. You have to hold them by their hands. They're not yet ready for that level that you see up there in your high level. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, go back to the people and give them another azhara. Maybe they're full of this big flame of enthusiasm. They're inspired, but nevertheless, flames die out very quickly. They don't last for very long. And here, my friends, before we go on, we're on the bottom of page 128, I'd like to introduce what we call Inyani Diyoma here. Today is Tu Bishvat. What is the connection between what we're discussing here and Tu Bishvat? So I have here in front of me a book that's called Chazon Lamoed by Rav Shapiro. And he has a discussion about Tu Bishvat. So I want to take a 5-minute break here and tell you a few things that I saw in his book about Tu Bishvat. And almost all of this particular essay has 4 essays on Tu Bishvat. This one is based on the Arizal. And Rav Chaim Vital, the great disciple of the Arizal, says in the name of his Rebbe that what's the point of eating fruits on Tu Bishvat? And maybe you're familiar with this. For me, it was a chiddush. He says, and I quote, "L'takein cheto shel adam arishon shechata b'peros ha'ilon." Interesting. Tu Bishvat is a celebration of Peros ha'ilon, but it's also the commemoration of the first chet, which was the chet b'peros ha'ilon. And he quotes Chazal. There are a number of opinions about what the Eitz Hadas, what fruit it was, and one of the Mandiomars is that it was an esrog. And he goes on to quote the Shalom and others who say that on this day of Tu Bishvat, we have to think about the esrog, and if we mispal for a good esrog at all, it's determined on this day. But that's not the point I wanted to share with you. He says the following, Nevayer eshoresh cheto shel adam arishon. What is the source? What's the root of the sin of Adam HaRishon? If today on Tu Bishvat we're trying to rectify that sin, let's understand what that sin is. And he quotes a pasuk in Koheles, "Asher asa Elokim es ha'adam yashar, but vehema bikshu cheshbonos rabin." Rashi explains that this pasuk, Basal Kimis Ha Adam. The Ha Adam here is an allusion to Adam Arishon. He was created Yashar. There was a straight, clear-cut command not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But Bikshu Chesbonos Rabim, they had their Chesbonos. They had a calculation. Adam Arishon decided, no, I'm going to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Say Chazal, why? Why did Adam Arishon want to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Was it the most alluring?
He was a good guy. He wanted to listen to his wife.
Okay. Yechiel, you have a way of putting out my fire, you know. I'm on a roll now. Okay. Here's what
I'm on a roll. Sorry, Robin, go ahead.
All right, Yechiel, listen. You and I both suffer from the same thing. We always do what our wives tell us, you know, that's good. Aisha Shevni Sati Mani. It's good, we can always blame it on our wife. But Chazal try to delve deeper, because I'll tell you why, Yechiel. You and I have no concept, and you have to trust me on this, who Adam Arishon was, Kodem Achim. We don't have an inkling of a concept of who he was. So what was the nature of his sin? The Rambam tells us, and I indicated this before, that before the chait of Adam Arishon, man's choice was between emes and sheker. Not between Tov and Ra. Man had some sort of vague idea that there's something called evil out there, but he had no temptation for evil because it was Sheker to him. Emes is all that's good, all that God wants. And therefore, lo hisig es hara kibitzius klal. The evil was not an entity, a reality that would tempt him. He knew in one part of his mind that there's something called Ra, but he understood it as some sort of an illusion, some sort of a sheker, a fabrication. It doesn't exist. It's not real. And the Ramban goes on to embellish the Rambam, and he says that from that perspective, for Adam Arishon to do evil is like for you and I to put our tongue into a fire, pardon the expression, but that's what the Ramban gives that expression. That's not something that tempts you. Adam Arishon understood that by eating from the Eitz Hadas, his bechira, his choice, would be totally, radically, profoundly transformed. It would now be an understanding of Ra as a reality that would tempt him. So why did Adam Arishon want to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Says the Arizal, because this is what's called an Avera Lishma. Sometimes you sin for the greater good. And he was interested in intensifying his Bechira choice by making Ra into something much more profound. He was on a high level, but now he wanted to go down to a lower level in which Ra, evil, would tempt him. It would be like, you know, those fancy shiny lights that would attract him. Kideshi yuchal lahagdil kvod shamayim. Because that would expand the scope of his kvod shamayim beyond obinisayon. Now he would have to overcome temptation, which would be a serious allurement, and it would be mitoch hester, because no longer is it crystal clear to him that evil is evil. So his chait was that he had cheshbonos rabim, as Shlomo Melch says. Cheshbonos rabim means he thinks. In Yiddish, we call it an Iver Chacham. You familiar with that phrase? You know, Adam Arishon is the first Iver Chacham. I'm smarter than God. I God tells me not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but I know better. And so the tikkun of the chait of Adam Arishon is a commitment. You know, the people of Israel sometimes get so excited, they think, you know what? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up there on the mountain, I got to climb up to the mountain. No, Hashem says, don't go up to the mountain. And that's what we have to do. We have to commit ourselves to the Asherus, to the clear-cut perception of what God says is okay and what's not okay. And we can't make these cheshbonos rabim. Getting back to the Tolna Rebbe for the last, you know, 6-7 minutes that we have, we're on the bottom of page 128. Leadership. Based on this Maral Mi Prague, And understanding Klal Yisrael as being on the level that they were, unfortunately, and that they were jumping way too fast and climbing too high, we can begin to understand the Gemara in Tainus and the Sugya of Yoshioa Melech. Who was Yoshioa Melech? He was one of the greatest tzaddikim we ever had. He virtually defeated Avodah Zarah when it was rampant in his time. Why was he killed, and why does he die such a ruthless, cruel death? The Gemara says in Tainus that there was an issue which is codified by the Psukim in Tanakh, in Melachim Beis, also in Sefer Yomim, Divrei Yomim, where the king of Egypt at that time, Paroneche, he wanted to go through the land of Israel in order to get to the other side and defeat his enemies. And Yoshioa HaMelech refused to let him go through, and then we fell at the hands of this para. What was Yoshio thinking? So the Gemara says, Torah Rabbanan, Cherev Sha'amru, Ein Tzarech Lomar, Cherev She'enu Shel Sholom, El Afilu Cherev Shel Sholom. God says that I promise you in the end of days that not only will there be no Cherev that will attack you, but even a Cherev Shel Sholom, a Cherev Shel Peace, you can fight against it because of its inherent danger. You'll be able to defeat it. You'll be able to tell those who want to go through your land, don't even step into my land. That's how great will be the power of Klal Yisrael. So Yeshayahu wanted to apply that pasuk to his time. He thought the people of Israel had done a great tshuva. They completely obliterated Avodah Zarah. And therefore he refused to let Paro Nechel go through the land, because that was the cherev shel shalom, meaning it wasn't a cherev that was pointed out at them. So Hashem would certainly protect us against the cherev paro. But Yeshio made a big mistake. And you can go through all the psukim, we don't have time right now to do so, but the punchline of it all, my darash, the cherev lo savor bi'artzachem. And what is that cherev? It's a cherev shel shalom. And you'll have the ability, the Torah, God promises, to refuse even a cherev shel shalom to go through your land. The who, but he, Yoshio made one mistake. Eino yodea she'ein doro dome yofeh. He didn't evaluate the level of his people. He thought, mistakenly, that they had completely eradicated and cut themselves off from Avodah Zarah. But behind the doors, we have a whole kina and Tisha B'Av about this, they were still holding on to idols. And as a result, that promise, that divine promise, was not appropriate for the time of Yoshio, not for his generation. Who is Yoshio? Yoshio is someone about which Chazal tell us Yirmiyahu called him Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. The whole fourth chapter of Eicha is dedicated as a eulogy to Yoshio HaNavi. He was meant to be the Melech HaMashiach. That's how great he was. But where did he fail? Why did he die such a cruel death? The answer is that the tzaddik of all our kings, Yoshio HaMelech, Lo Hikir Es Matzovo Shel Ha'am, he did not recognize the level of his people. Lo Yada, he didn't know, Ki Doro Lo Zakoy Lav Tocha Zu, that Cherev Shel Sholem Lo Tavar Biartzachem. They weren't on that level to be worthy of that divine promise. And therefore, Lo Zachu Lekach, by refusing the Cherev Shel Sholem, they ended up in a state of catastrophe. And perhaps that's why Yoshio HaMelech had to die such a cruel death, where all the arrows, 300 arrows, went through his body. Because his sin was leadership. He failed as a leader at this juncture in time, because a leader has to know his people. He has to know where they're holding. He can say, Acharai, follow me, because he knows that they're capable of following me. Because he's mistakel, he always looks behind him. He sees what the people are, and he knows who they're, where they're holding. That's the tviya against him. And here, if you fast forward to the end of page 130, He says the following. We can now begin to answer our questions about this whole parsha before Matan Torah and immediately after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, Hashem says, "V'gam b'chayam minu." Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatness of Matan Torah is that the people will accept you and believe in you and rely on you as their leader. But one thing you have to know, lech reit, if you want to serve as a leader, you have to know the people. Come down from your high, lofty place. Understand where the Klal Yisrael is holding. They'll need chizuk. They'll need hanhaga. They'll need guidance over and over and over again. And now, the Torah says, right after Matan Torah, a description of what Matan Torah was like. The kolos, the brakim, the ashan, the smoke. Klal Yisrael at this moment in time reached an amazingly high level with a spiritual power, and you know, everything is miraculous, is spectacular, and at that point, Klal Yisrael have to understand that although that's a great moment of glory, but that's not the real spiritual development. The real avoda is yegia, is amel, is to work hard to make Sisim, make foundation stones, to move gradually, to build one day after the other. I know so many Rosh Yeshiva who told the Talmidim, don't take this on. I know you're very excited about this Chumrah that you want to take, but build slowly. I know so many Bali Tshuva that jump forward too fast, and you and I know these people. And they have to be told sometimes, slow down, you're not ready for it. You're not ready to take your tzitzis and wear them till the floor. And you're not ready to take upon fast days, and tiny this and that, and I see such things. I don't want to get carried away because it goes into my kishkis when I see these people that have not built themselves solidly, step by step, and they just try to jump and reach levels that they're not ready for. So what's the first mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael after the potent power experience on this high of kolos ubrakim, of the kol shofar, of the ashan kulo? Hashem says, lo salu bimalos al mizbechi, don't jump onto the mizbech. No aliyah bechavza. Chavza means with one, you know, hislavus, with one, it's got to be step by step. You've got to build, you've got to move forward. And he ends this beautiful presentation with a maimar from Rabbi Bunim Mipsitsa, who says that when David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Al tashlicheinu milfanecha, v'ruach kodshcha al tikach bimeni, what's this all about? If it's al tashlicheinu milfanecha, if God is, so to speak, casting us aside, what's this ruach kodesh chal tikach mimeni? You know, it's a second bakoshe. Once he said to Hashem, al tashlicheni, it means that God is about to throw him away, cast him aside, and alienate him. Then is there any ruach kodesh chal left in such a person that he would say ruach kodesh chal tikach mimeni? But the answer is, says the Rebbe Rabunim, this is one bakoshe. And what is the one bakoshe? He says the following, you know what? Don't push me away, Hashem. Don't be marchik me, but leave me with Ruach HaKodesh. Because Ruach HaKodesh is meaningless. It's even disastrous if it's left it without Kiruv, without being close to Hashem. If we're close to Hashem, if we feel and we've achieved that Kirvas Elokim, that Dveikus through very hard toil, building ourselves step by step, then Ruach HaKodesh is meaningful. But Ruach HaKodesh without building, without being close to Hashem, without Kirvas Elokim, is not only meaningless, it's even hazardous. And the message is, in our hope and our prayer, as we learn the Parsha of Matan Torah, is that Torah and preparation for Shechina, for Dveikus, for closeness requires Amel, Amelus, requires Hashka'ah. It requires a great deal of work. Aliyah, Mituna. Mituna means very slowly, carefully, deliberately, b'shlavim, going up stages, mi madrega achar madrega. That's why Pinchas ben Yair, that's the theme of the Mesil Sisham Ramchal, is, you know, go from one madrega to the next madrega, until finally we can conquer more and more stations, more and more of kibush hayetzer, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And we have to be satisfied with achieving small goals, and we can compare ourselves to yesterday, and yes, give ourselves a pat on the back, we've come closer to Hashem. And sometimes we'll slip and we'll fall, but we'll again be able to build and stand again because we have a solid base. We haven't run too fast and too far. We haven't pressed the fast forward button. We've built and we've built and we've worked and we've worked. And with that toil, Mirtz Hashem, will be Zocha to an aliyah, to a true, genuine kirvas Hashem, to be close to Hashem, Kaini Ratzon. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautifully done.
I have a question. I have a question.
Yeah, before your question, David, I just want to tell Joe that what he said before, that Hashem wants Moshe to be together with the Am, that's not so far from what the Rebbe's saying. Maybe the Rebbe said it a little bit better than you. I don't know. Yeah, David?
As a matter of fact, you can say that Moshe actually maybe failed in that quest for getting closer to the people, and that's why he couldn't bring them into Eretz Yisrael. That's a whole arikus to go into that.
But right.
You could say that was his failing.
But David, you wanted to say something before and I got distracted, yeah?
I have a question. It's sort of related to this, but not exactly. So we said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, lo yuchal, lo ham, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, it's almost like you have no bechir anymore. So here's something that I'd like you to think about, if possible. So which mitzvah say, lo yisuchal? So by Hashem's baby, you see it, and by shechting privately, you're hunter. Those are two. I
don't
know those two issues. Lo yuchal
l'salim,
lo yuchal l'spoyev. So I'm saying.
Right, and also lo yuchal l'shalcha by onus and mafate.
Right, yeah.
And also lo yuchal l'echel b'sharecha by my sushani.
Spread by these things, which should take away
material somehow. I guess what we're saying is that the ultimate goal is that the Word of God and His command should be so close to our hearts that we reach the stage in which, you know, we say every morning in that Yehi Ratzon after Birchas Hashachar, we say, Al Tavi Yehinu Lidei Nisayon. Man is not meant to make this cheshbonos. Yeah, I'll go into the, I don't know, there is one great rabbi here who goes into the discos, you know, and if you watch Lubavitch, I mean, it's unbelievable. They expose themselves. You know, people, most people, when they see Lubavitch on Shlichus in various places, as I did just 2 weeks ago, the first thought that crossed their mind is, what are they going to do with their children? You know, how can you raise children in this atmosphere? And that's why Hashem says, Al Tavienu Lidei Nisayon. You know, we don't have to deliberately look for challenges. What we have to do is get to the point where Hashem commands, we do exactly. You know, some people, you know, they come up with all sorts of cheshbonos. You know, it's worth it for me to violate this Avera in order to bring about a greater, you know, I'll bring the Mashiach. No, our job is not to bring the Mashiach. Our job is to do the Ratzon Hashem, and hopefully that'll bring the Mashiach. But don't try to be an Ibra Chacham and climb the mountain. And that happened to Nadav Aviu, and it happens over and over again, even in our times, that people do things because they feel it's an Aveir Lishma. This is a greater hole. So we have to follow. And that's what I think the tikkun of Adam Arishan, or the Chet Adam Arishan, is today. And that's why we make brachas over fruits, and especially over the esrog tree. You know, we buy and we pray for an esrog tree, a beautiful esrog, because if the esrog was the Eitz Hadas, that's the one we want to do a tikkun. Okay then, Rabosan. Thank you so much. Everyone should have a great week. And if you speak to Yuri, you know, send him my best regards. Tell him we certainly missed him today.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Rabbi, I'm going to be in there. I shall be there to Israel for the next month or so.
Okay.
So I'll call you later on Wednesday afternoon, okay?
Great. If you don't mind calling me like one day before, I know last time you had trouble, I don't know what went wrong. Maybe my phone was fluky, but, you know, that gives me you know, the mental preparedness that I know that you're going to call.
I'll send you an email or a text a few hours before.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you so much.